1 Corinthians chapter number 2 this morning. 1 Corinthians, we're looking in chapter number 2, and I want to look at a verse that's found in verse number 9. 1 Corinthians chapter number 2, verse number 9. This is a verse that we use sometimes in funerals. We talk about what the sweet by and by is going to be like. And we use this verse primarily in the context of heaven. And it is a great verse for that. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians chapter number 2, verse number 9, "But as it is written, eye hath not seen, nor ear heard, neither hath it entered into the heart of man, the things which God hath prepared for them that love him." Now, that's a comforting verse, isn't it? To know that some of these days we're going to get to be partakers of that place that, I mean, it ain't even entered in our heart. We ain't got no idea what it's going to be like. And I hear a lot of people say, "Oh yeah, I know what it's going to be like." Well, no you don't, because the Bible says it hadn't even entered into the heart of man. I don't even know that your heart could take it. Don't know that my head could take it if we knew the truths. But you know, there's a pesky verse hooked onto this in verse 10. And if you'll notice the context, and when you look at them together, there's no paragraph change. It is the same thought. It is a continuation of the thought. And there is a conjunctive word that says, but. But what? Well, it's talking about verse number 9. About how that things are prepared, the things which God hath prepared for them that love him. And verse 10, but God hath revealed. Now notice the phrase hath revealed. God hath revealed them unto us, look at this, by his Spirit. Now wait a minute. I thought you had to go to heaven to get to see all this and experience all this. Well, the Bible says God hath revealed them unto us by his Spirit. For the Spirit searcheth all things, yea, the deep things of God. Verse 11, for what man knoweth the things of man, save the spirit of man which is in him? Even so the things of God knoweth no man, but the Spirit of God. Verse 12, now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit which is of God, that we might know the things which are freely given, the things that are freely given to us of God. Now, the deeper we go in this, the more I'm realizing this is not talking about heaven. This is not talking about the sweet by and by. This is talking about something that can be obtained in the nasty now and now. Verse 13, which things also we speak, not in the words which man's wisdom teacheth, but which the Holy Ghost teacheth, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. But the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him. Neither can he know them, but because they are spiritually discerned. But he that judgeth all, or he that is spiritual judgeth all things, yet he himself is judged of no man. For who hath known the mind of Christ, that he may instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ. Now, that's a lot of reading, but let's see if we can bear it down and boil it down this morning. And I want to talk to you about an unseen world that is just as real as the one we're standing in. Let's bow our heads. Father, we pray and ask you'd help us now to rightly divide the word of truth. And Lord, I pray that you'd help us to understand that it's true, as the songwriter said, that we can have a closer walk with thee. And Lord, grant it to be so. And we'll thank you for what you do in Christ's name. Amen and amen. Very few of the problems that we encounter could not be fixed by a closer walk with God. There's very few things that could not be changed if we had a closer walk. Somebody said, "Well, you just don't know my wife." Well, if she had a closer walk with God, that could be changed. Well, you just don't know my husband. Well, if she had a closer walk with God, that could be changed. I promise you it could. But I want you to understand that just right now, there's a whole bunch of worlds that coexist. Now, we live in the world, but there's a bunch of worlds that are coexisting in this room, in this building, right now, all at the same time. There is the world of radio frequency. You don't see it, but the microphone that I'm talking on is emitting a radio frequency, and this little belt pack that I wear is transmitting my voice over to that receiver sitting over there on the wall at some, 700 megahertz, something like that. In turn, it goes back yonder. And there is, but not only is there, my frequency is in here, there's all kinds of frequencies. You see, it just takes a particular kind of instrument to pick it up. You bring an AM radio right here where you're sitting, and you'd find that there's all of the frequencies from 1540 all the way up to 1700. They are here at some strength or another in this room. If you bring an FM radio in, you'd find the same thing was true. If you bring a police scanner in, you'll find the same thing is true. Those frequencies are in here. As a matter of fact, the firemen that are here, you keep yours on decode, you keep it encoded, because if you didn't, you'd hear all those frequencies coming out loud over the loudspeaker of your pager, and it would distract the service. Oh, there's people talking through the air right now. I don't know if you realize it, but there's frequencies coming in one window and going out the other window. I mean, it's transmitting through this building. You say, how is that possible? Well, it is. If the tower's on Rich and you're standing on this side of the building, you can't see Rich, how do you think that signal got? That signal come right through here. And there's signals crisscrossing. Now, what's amazing thing is, as far as we know, there's never been two signals run into one another. Because they're on different frequencies, they travel through the air invisibly, and they never run into each other. And so you got all those frequencies. Now, you add with that television frequencies. And then let's add all of the satellite frequencies. And now let's add those lovely cell phone frequencies. Everybody here that has a cell phone, your cell phone is emitting a frequency right now. Take it out and look at it. Look at your cell phone. You can. It's the only time you can get it out in church. Take it out and look at it. All right? Tell me how many bars you got. If you're on Verizon, half of one. How many bars you got on your cell phone? Do you know what that is? What that bar is? That bar is not how strong the cell tower is. That bar is how much signal you're putting on the cell tower. Did you know your cell phone is transmitting right now? You say, "Oh no, it's not. I don't have it on. I'm not transmitting." Doesn't matter. It puts out a continuous signal. Did you know that? It's like a 600 millivolt signal. Your cell phone, if it's on and the battery's in it, your cell phone broadcasts all the time. Because you can take it out and look at it any moment, and it'll tell you what your level is. That's the level that you're putting on the tower, not the tower's putting on you, whether or not you're going to be able to make a phone call. So you got all of those. And what's amazing is we could all... If we wanted to, we could all pick up our phones at the same time. Well, this is not a good example because here you have to stand on your one foot and wet your finger and do certain things to get out. But if this was a normal place, everybody in here could pick up your cell phone and talk at the same time, and no one would hear the other person. But in some cases, you'd be on similar frequencies. So you got all of that going on in the analog, and then you've got the digital, and the cell phone is in the digital, the television is in the digital. And the problem is when we take a spectrum analyzer and we take a feed horn, the old timey way of doing it, you swing a feed horn around your head and look at the spectrum analyzer, you can't see the digital. It don't even show up. And so you have to have this special tool now to see digital frequency. And so you could broadcast on top of another frequency and never even know the digital was there. You know how that was invented? You know how digital, everything's digital now? You know how we invented that? The CIA came up with digital, and they used it in Washington, D.C., and they went on big FM stations in D.C. and used it to transmit perfectly encrypted messages back and forth between the different departments of state. And when the Russians would get over on there, and they have the highest embassy in D.C., by the way, we give them the highest ground. So they had all this surveillance operation trying to listen to us. But we were encoding a digital signal inside of the country music or the rock and roll music or the news radio, whatever it was. And here the CIA is talking completely silently, and they can't see it. So, preacher, you lost me. Well, I just want to tell you, if we had the equipment, we could sit down right now and we could pick up thousands of things that are being said in the air that you're breathing. Right now. It's going on. There's thousands of things communicating. Everything from the National Weather Service to all the... everything that you could pick up. You may have to have certain things to pick, but now in the days of computers and Bluetooth, and now in the days of... you could not imagine what and all is being transmitted in this room. But you'd have to have a certain equipment to pick it up with. Now, we could take and expand that. If we took a telescope and went outside the room, we would find there's a whole nother world out there. A few weeks ago, we talked about the expanse of the universe and how much is out there. But it takes a certain instrument to tune in on that and pick it up. Otherwise, we can only see a few thousand stars and occasionally a planet. We're very limited in our scope and in our view of what the rest of the solar system and certainly the universe looks like. But on the flip side of that, we could bring a microscope in. And we could take and have any one person take your hand. I'm going to give you the creepy crawlies now. And lay your hand under the microscope, and we could zoom in close enough. We would see, look like something just working. If we zoom in close enough, we would see all these bacteria. And we see all these things crawling on your skin. Not on my skin, I just washed them. Well, to believe it or not, there has to be a certain amount of it on your skin for you to stay healthy. There is a good bacteria. If you don't have a certain amount of good bacteria, you'll get yeast. And that's where the yeast infections come from. The bacteria fight off the yeast. Inside your intestinal system, you have good bacteria. That's why you eat yogurt and all those things, for the good bacteria. If you don't, if you kill all that off, then you start having all kind of stomach trouble. And trust me, it's worse. Not having any bacteria is worse than having bacteria. Say amen, Miss Becky. She's been on that high-powered antibiotics for her knee, and she's had to come off of it because her stomach can't take no more. Because without bacteria, naturally occurring bacteria in your system, you can't digest food. And you talk about a mess now. You get in a worse mess than you could ever imagine. So there's a balance. It's there. It's microscopic, but it is real. And there is a whole hierarchy of things that are going on our hands, on the back of our hands. The saliva in our mouths. We could just go on and on and on. There's the germ pool, the viral pool. And so I said, preacher, I ain't never come back to this church. It's nasty. Well, the good news is you're accustomed to this one. It's when you go somewhere else that you start picking up stuff that you're not too accustomed to. Yeah, it's the way it works. And so when we had the daycare, our kids would all be fine. They'd all get well and all at the same time. They'd got a bunch of brothers and sisters. They'd all get well. And then we'd have a kid go away for the weekend and come back sick. And we dreaded it, because when he come back sick, guess what? Every kid in that room had to get sick, including the teacher. I could figure 2 days out for the teacher, and I could figure a day or two out for every kid in there until it went all the way around the room. And once that bug got through, you never get that one again, but you get the first cousin to it. And you start that one all the way back around the room. So how do you stop that? What do you do? Well, believe it or not what you think. Research has shown that exposure to viruses, give you immunity as opposed to trying to kill everything. Did you know that firefighters, nurses, and doctors have got the highest immunity of anybody? Because they're exposed to it all the time. They rarely get sick. Nurses and doctors' office rarely get sick because they're around it all the time. And so their body builds up an immunity. So rather than put ourselves in a room with plastic and seal it up, you know, and spray it full of Lysol and breathe deep and dip ourselves in hand sanitizer, it's just the opposite is true. Just the opposite is true. Exposure is actually, in the viral pool, is actually better than the opposite, trying to keep from being exposed. But I said all of that to say there is a number of worlds that are right here, right now, around us, and that we inhabit. And even though we may not see them directly, you're hearing the byproduct over this microphone of the electronic world. You can hear it. You know that that's taking place. There is, tonight when the stars come out, obviously you'll see that. The hand sanitizer and the hand wash stations in the bathroom, they're there for a reason, because we know those things exist. Some people in the world still don't believe that. I was going down the Nile River. I was going south on a train, and we came to a washout in the Nile, and it was a water hole. And it looked like something you'd see on television almost. Because here was a lady, had her pans, and she had sand from the riverbank, and she was scrubbing her pans with sand out of this green water in the Nile. Next to her pans was the water buffalo. And there was some, the boys were giving the water buffalo a bath. And they were scrubbing the water buffalo in the same stagnant hole that mama's washing dishes in. And then over on the bank, just beyond the water buffalo, is a little boy, buck naked, going to the bathroom into the water hole. But if you were to go to that Egyptian lady and say, "Lady, don't wash your dishes in the Nile, it's dirty," she'd go, "Oh no, see, it's clean, it shines." And you'll never convince her there's anything wrong with that. Look how shiny it is. She scrubs it with sand. Look how shiny it is. And she's convinced that's good, because she's never seen a microscope. She's never seen a microbe. She's never seen a germ. And she don't believe in germs, because it's not something that she has never seen. Well, having said that, I want you to understand that there is an unseen world, the Bible declares, that eye hath not seen, ear nor ear heard, neither hath entered into the heart of man, the things which God hath prepared for them that love him. But I'm not talking about heaven. I'm talking about right now. There is an opportunity to enter into a walk and enter into a place and enter into a world that's realer than this one by the grace of God. The Bible says it's unseen. Let's take a little bit and examine this unseen world. Look in verse number 9. The Bible says, "But as is written, eye hath not seen, ear heard, neither hath entered into the heart of man, the things which," look at this phrase, "God hath prepared for them that love him." If you're going to listen to radio frequency, you've got to make some preparation. You've got to get something to tune it in with. If you're going to look at something beyond what the naked eye can see, you're going to have to make some preparation. You're going to have to get a telescope, and you're going to have to tune it in, and you're going to have to do a little bit of study and figure it out. If you're going to look at the germ world, you're going to have to get a microscope, and you're going to have to prepare a slide, and you're going to have to do some preparation to get to where you can see that. The reason that God's people don't see the unseen world is because we make no preparation for it. But the Bible says, God hath prepared for them that love him. Someone said, well, heaven is a prepared place for a prepared people. Well, I want to go one step further and tell you that this thing that I'm talking about, this closer walk with God, is also a prepared place for a prepared people. There's more to Christianity than coming into church and listening to the preacher get up and sermonize, sit there and yawn, watch the kid beside you misbehave, and go through the routines and suddenly get up and be dismissed and walk out and go do it again next Sunday. I got news for you, church. There's more to this thing than that. If that's all there was to it, son, I'm out of here. If that's all there was to it, I'd pack my stuff and I'd get in my car and drive off. I'm sure I can find something better to do with my time. And I'm serious. Serious as I can be. You see, this thing I'm talking about, there is a divine world. It's a divine world. The Bible says, prepared for them that love Him. Look in verse number 10. God hath revealed them unto us. Revealed, present tense. Hath revealed unto us by His Spirit. For the Spirit searcheth all things. The deep things of God. The deep things of God. Preacher, what are you trying to say? I'm trying to say that it is possible to be able to get victory in the nasty now and now by having one foot over into the sweet by and by. And you don't have to be sick to do that. You don't have to have one foot in the grave to do that. You can enjoy some of the blessings of a divine world in this old world. You can enjoy the thrill and the excitement and the blessings of a divine world. The Bible says that it is a deep world. Yea, the deep things of God. I want you to understand that so many times people think that Christianity is shallow and people think that there's this great shallowness. In my recent studies concerning the Constitution, the Bill of Rights, the Declaration of Independence, those documents, the more you study those documents, the more you see the divine hand in those. The more you see that it was not just a group of men who got together and decided to write some curious writings, to write some things that sounded good on paper. It was much more than that. I think our forefathers would be amazed that it has survived as long as it has and still intact to the degree that it is. But what I'm trying to tell you is the more you study, the more you realize, the more you study the battles of the Revolutionary War, the more you study the documents, it was not a group of colonists taking on the greatest power on earth, but rather it was a group of colonists who had tapped into something bigger than they were. And they prayed, and they asked God, and God led them concerning troop movements, and they knew things that they had no way of knowing. They would pray, and God would lead them, and they would go and hit the enemy head on. There was no telegraph. There was no type of communication. There was no aerial surveillance. And yet, time and time again, they engaged the enemy in perfect situations. And they did it through seeing a little bit of that divine world. I'm talking about getting a little bit of that divine intervention. And it's not just in the Revolution. I can share with you, in recent times, in our lifetime, things that God has done that have been amazing, and things that the Lord has put on people and has shared. It's been amazing to see what God's done. It's a deep world. Now understand, you're not always listening. But it's amazing what God will deal with you about and what God will share with you if you'll just tune in. It's amazing the things sometimes that God will prepare your heart for. I don't wear a fire pager. I just got to where I don't wear it. It goes off all the time. I just got to where I don't wear it. And some mornings I'll be getting dressed and it's sitting there in the charger, and all of a sudden it'll call my attention. It'll come to my attention. And there's times I'll go, nah. And then other times I'll go, well, I wonder what that's about. And I'll clip it on my belt just to see. And it's the most amazing thing. Because when that happens, just within hours, I'm going to be in a life or death situation for somebody. It's happened more than once. The other morning it went off. I don't know why. I didn't even, the dial page went off. I didn't even look to see what it was. It was a Saturday morning early. I jumped and got dressed. And Dora said, what is it? I said, I don't know, but I got to go. And I looked at it, and it said unconscious, and it's all it said. And when I got there, a young man was dead on the floor. But I knew I was supposed to go. I mean, I knew I was supposed to go. It wasn't convenient to go. It wasn't that anybody would give me any heads up. It's just one of those things. God woke me out of a dead sleep. That pager went off. And before I realized it, I was dressed and heading out the door before I finally even realized where I was going. Had the same thing happen here the other day. Heard the tones go off in the newsroom. I heard the tones go off. Recognized the tones. I've stopped running calls. I don't go to calls anymore unless they call me. But on that particular day when I heard those tones go off, something went off inside me, and I headed toward the car. And the dial page was late. I didn't even have my pager. The dial page was late coming in. And when it did come in, it didn't make full sense. And I thought, well, Lord, why am I doing this? And I got as far as the triangle stop. Didn't even know where the place was, actually, because I didn't recognize the address. Ambulance come in behind me. I pulled over, and the minute the ambulance came by, I dropped in behind him. And I got there and was on a full arrest of a 28-year-old. I was badly needed on that call. I don't always do that. I don't always hit it. Sometimes I roll over and hit the button. Sometimes I don't listen. Sometimes I don't mind. But I'm going to tell you something. If I ever learn to mind the Spirit of God, if I ever learn to tap in to this unseen world, this deep world, this discoverable world, it's possible. The Bible says, but God revealeth them. The Bible says in verse 14, they are spiritually discerned. Spiritually discerned. Sometimes it don't make sense. My wife did something a while back that she knows better. There was a woman walking on the side of the road, and my wife stopped and picked her up and ended up taking her somewhere, taking her to Asheville. And wasn't armed. I don't even know had a cell phone. But she went past her, and the Spirit of God said, stop. And she pulled over and thought about it and said, my husband will kill me. You know, I'm forbidden to do such things. I can't do this. I ain't no way I can do this. And she said the more she went, the harder it got. And said, next thing you know, she went back and picked her up and headed the other direction with her. You ever done anything out of character? You ever done anything out of ordinary? You know what I'm talking about? When God absolutely says, all right, don't you pass this one up. Here's the opportunity. Here's something you're supposed to do. How about when it comes to witnessing? There are some who believe that you're supposed to witness to everybody that you see in the course of the day. I believe you ought to be a good witness as far as a good testimony. But I'm not sure that you can give the plan of salvation to everybody you come in contact with every day of your life. But I will tell you this, on occasion there'll be one God will point out and sit down on you. And I mean God sit down on you. And you can argue if you want to. Say, but I ain't got time, and they're bigger than I am, and they're liable to whoop me, and they really don't want to know what I got to say, and they got a Harley jacket on, and they got tattoos, and they got a ring in their nose, and they just don't look like somebody that'd like to hear what I'm going to tell them. But the Spirit of God won't leave you alone. And you just have to go and do what God says do. Sometimes I wonder if God don't do that just to see if we'll do it. Just to give us some training and some obedience. Have they always gotten saved, everyone? No, they haven't. I've never seen any fruit from many of them. I've never seen anything at all. All I know is there's times that when I don't do it, I'm ruined the rest of the day. I feel like a dog for missing that opportunity. And I get to the point that I'll say, Lord, if you'll give me another, and I promise. And about the next one you see, whether God's entered or not, you're all over them, you know, because you just feel so bad about the last one. Well, look what the Bible says. How do you get there? How do you get into that sphere? There is the examining this thing of the unseen world. There's entering this thing. The Bible says, but God hath revealed them unto us. The Spirit of God's the conductor. He's the one that conducts the affairs. He's the one that reveals these things to us. And there are times that you don't have time to get down and fast and pray and spend 3 days over something. There's times you got to do something now. And what you choose can have some great consequences. I'm glad to report to you that the Spirit of God reveals. He's the conductor. The Bible says also He's the coordinator. Look what the Bible says in verse 10. For the Spirit of God searcheth all things. Searcheth all. He coordinates. He's got the right person in the right place at the right time. He's the coordinator. I personally don't believe in happen chance or happenstance or luck. A lot of people all tore up about luck. My friend, I believe in providence. I believe in the providence of Almighty God. And I believe when the providential hand of God moves and God provides and there is that opportunity, it's God, the coordinator, bringing things together. The Bible says, searcheth all things. And then the Spirit is the communicator. Look in verse number 13. The Bible says, not in the words which man's wisdom teacheth, but which the Holy Ghost teacheth, compared spiritual things with spiritual. It's amazing that sometimes how that you can get beyond yourself. It's amazing sometimes how the Spirit of God will draw things back into your mind. It's amazing sometimes when the cults challenge you, how that the Holy Ghost will bring those things back. The Spirit of God will begin to communicate. You'll begin to come up with verses and remember the addresses to verses that you hadn't memorized since you was a youngin. And the Spirit of God will put them on you faster than you can get them out. Teaching. He's the communicator. He teaches. He transmits those things through us. Just as Eliezer, the servant, it took the servant to bring. Isaac didn't go back with the servant. The servant went to where Rebekah was, and it was up to the servant, Eliezer, to bring Rebekah to where Isaac was. Well, the same thing's true. The Spirit of God takes us from where we are in that far country and brings us to where the blessed Son is, bring us where the bridegroom is, that we might have fellowship. But let's go back to when we were talking about radio, when we were talking about picking up signals and all the rest. If you're going to activate some type of device that picks up something, whether it be Bluetooth or Wi-Fi or whatever it is, best thing to do when it won't work is always check, see if it's turned on. You'd be surprised how many people don't get that first point. Well, I can't get it to work. It ain't working. Well, it's working on my laptop. Well, it ain't working on mine. The Wi-Fi's down. It ain't working on my computer. Well, I'm showing I got four bars here in the, you know, in the auditorium. It looks like it's working good. It ain't working on mine. Is your Wi-Fi turned on? Well, of course it's turned on. Have you checked it? Well, no. Well, check it and see if it's turned on. And they check it and go, well, how did that get turned off? I didn't do that. Must be somebody else's fault. I didn't do that. One of the best ways, I mean, that's one of the first things you check, see if it's turned on. Can I say, if a man don't get any signals from heaven ever, if he don't ever get any signals from heaven, the best thing to do is make sure he's on the right channel. Make sure he's got the Spirit of God living in him. That's first base. That's the main thing, to know that you're saved. Because if the Spirit of God don't abide in you, you're not going to be able to have any discernment of the Spirit. This is regeneration, or what we call conversion, being born again. So once you get it turned on, then secondly, you got to get it tuned in. Tuned in. I fight these devices. This device I have up here right now, this iPad, it's one of the new ones. It's got the 3G and all that. It's got all these different ways of tuning in. You can tune in with Bluetooth, and it can communicate with another device via Bluetooth. It can communicate with a headset via Bluetooth. It can supposedly communicate with my phone via Bluetooth. Supposedly, you can just walk up to it and tap the phone to the iPad, and it will sync up, supposedly. I don't know how to do it, but that's what the kids tell me. I use my teen class to help me with my technology. They know all about it. If I also know how to do something, I just ask the teenagers. They know. So you got your Bluetooth on here, and then you got Wi-Fi. And the Wi-Fi is the computer that the building furnishes that puts you hold of the internet. And we've got, I've got signal in here. And so we've got the Wi-Fi signal. And then if all else fails, this one has the, what they call the embed with Verizon. It's got a Verizon telephone in it. And so if it can't pick up any other signal, it goes out to Verizon. And they charge you so much per data for that thing. But you can actually get out matter of fact, when we fly, one of the problems is I can't keep my iPad no more, because every time they take the plane out, they want to borrow it. Because they lay it over their knee and they bring up a flight program. It gives them their latitude, their longitude, their altitude, their forward speed, and it gives them the sectional maps of the FAA, and then it imposes radar on top of it, where they can see the radar and the clouds, everything that's going on, right on top of their maps. Even has a GPS to show them right where they are. All on this little old gizmo. But then on top of that, you can plug it in and sync it. And I don't know what else you can do with it. I don't think I want to know. I've not got all this to work yet. I've had it a month, and I still don't know all I know to know about. I still don't understand all there is to know about it. But I know this. When I finally do get it to work, it sure is handy. But just getting it tuned in the right way, the right place, the right time. One of the chief problems that Christians are having is we just can't get tuned in. Are we on the right frequency? Are we on the right station? Are we on the right bandwidth? Are we tuned into the right thing? You don't do it. You don't get tuned into God by listening to the world. You don't get tuned into the things of God by listening to everything else. And then, not so much now, but it used to be that when you were listening to old static analog radio, especially the BBC and the old long wave radio, that one of the key essentials on the knobs was the tone. You had the on-off button, you had the tuning button, and then you had the tone. And you would tone it up or down to where it was listenable, where it was pleasant to the ear. You would
take the old static out or take the old whine out of it. Sometimes it'd be a real high whine in the top of the frequency, and you'd tune it up or down and get it where it ought to be so that you could get a clear understanding and a clear signal. I used to love to late at night listen to the different stations from around the world on shortwave and sit there and tune them in and hear them talking about. Even back in the day before the Iron Curtain came down, listen to Radio Moscow. And they would broadcast in English propaganda to Europe. And they had a British sounding fellow on there, but it was Radio Moscow. And they would tell all this junk that wasn't true. And there was a constant propaganda. They had their own news about how sorry America was and how America was going down the tubes and how much greater Russia was. And it went on all the time. It was a constant propaganda band that bombed Europe, that kind of like Tokyo Rose did in World War II. Very similar. What are you trying to say, preacher? Let me give you one illustration and I'm done. Elijah and Elisha, they crossed the river together. Elijah is taken up in the fire chariot and the mantle falls to Elisha. And suddenly, Elisha has got a hold of something from another world. And instead of, they walked across on dry ground under the mantle with Elijah. But when it comes time to go back across the river, he rolls that mantle up, walks over, and the river parts, and Elisha walks across on dry ground. Elisha got something from Elijah he could not otherwise have had. Can I tell you that the Spirit of God, He is that mantle that allows us to tap into something that we would not otherwise have. I want you to understand, church, you don't have to go around looking like a mule been eating sawbriars. You don't have to go around whipped and defeated. You don't have to go around living a second-class, second-rate life. You don't have to, because the Scripture says, "Eye hath not seen, ear hadn't heard, neither hath it entered into the heart of man the things that await us." But I'm not talking about when we die. I'm talking about right here and right now. The promise is available.